hold up, no, please believe me. Don't want the one-on-one, take it easy. You're just the jump off. I'm his breezy. I'm the one who knows him the best.
Hello everyone, welcome to the latest episode of Right Back At You with myself, Joel Babington, and my fabulous co-host, David Lim.
Hello, hello, hello.
How's your week been? Anything fun been going on?
It's been rather hilarious because I have wanted to sort of check out Lindsay Lohan's reality show.
Oh.
I've been on the borderline.
He words it like... I wasn't even there. We watched it together. And for context for everyone, I said to David, oh, shall we watch the first episode? It was before it came out. And I said, should we do a bonus episode all about this new show, Lohan Beach House?
What you were proposing was a lot of commitment. And I wasn't sure if I was going to really be on board. MTV has uploaded the first episode of Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club. Let's just put it on the Apple TV. Let's just watch it. And it was a mess.
It was a mess. And I said to David, I'm so glad we're not doing a bonus episode on this. You know, it wasn't... It was just absolute trash, but it was missing the fun. It was quite dull.
Sad.
Okay, sad.
I thought it was a little bit sad.
It is a little bit sad.
There was an element of desperation from Lindsay, you know, really. And I respect her so much as a businesswoman, having seen, like, how big this fucking beach club is. You know, I totally understand why she's doing this, because she's trying to reinvent herself and gain a little bit more respect. But there was just that little bit of desperation that just made me a little bit sad for her.
Well, now Lindsay lives in Mykonos. She has developed a international accent. Those of you in the know will know. The Room, the Tommy Wiseau film. Lindsay's now developed a very Tommy Wiseau accent. But the best part about this show is that Bossy is the theme tune. Justice for Bossy.
Justice for Bossy.
Enter clip of Bossy here.
I'm just a little bossy. I like it how I like it when I like it, and that's how it is. I'm just a little bossy. You got a problem with it.
Thank goodness more people are hearing this song.
I didn't even know it was released as a proper single.
Yeah, I think what happened is I think it leaked, and because it was gaining traction, they tried to jump on it
and
officially released it. And then there was talks of that leading up to a third album, which unfortunately hasn't happened yet.
So she's been doing some press this past week, and she said her favourite song of hers is Walker Not a Talker.
Walker Not a Talker. Which, A, it's never been officially released by her, but it has been officially released by Maya.
Who wrote the song.
And B, why would you say that's your favourite song of yours when you've got Rumours, Bossy, First, Speak, Over, Confessions?
Mm.
You've got a strong back catalogue. Don't try and hit us with your, well, I haven't released it yet.
But did you know on her official Vivo account, she's posted a demo of it?
I don't know if that's really her official Vivo.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's more like Lindsay Lohan Stan Vivo, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Run by Joel Babington. But anyway, who are we covering this week, David?
We are doing two very special teen pop divas, Stacey Orrico and JoJo.
Absolute queens.
I mean, they were the girls. Like, we're talking vocal Bibles of their generation.
Oh, they are two vocalists that... There was just, like, that level of respect everyone had for them.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of other music we like and listen to, and not everyone... You know, people... When you're teenagers, people are fans of certain things. But I can't recall anyone saying bad words about these girls.
No, absolutely not. You know, we know Jessica Simpson and Christina Aguilera to be the kind of vocal queens of their clique. But these girls, who sort of blossomed and debuted about 4 or 5 years after Christina and Jessica, they really held their own. We're going to get into all that.
We're going to get into all of it.
In roughly a chronological order. That's the best way I can think of organising
it. Oh, God, yeah.
You off my mind. I
Stacey Orico. I can't think of very many Christian pop acts or even gospel acts that have
crossed over.
Yeah, crossed over.
Because I think in the UK you wouldn't have known unless you were a sort of homosexual in the know like we are. I mean, let us know, listeners over here. Growing up, did you know that Stacey Orico was a Christian pop artist? Interesting.
I mean, I would put my hand up because I am Stacey Orico's prime audience. I grew up in a Christian household, went to church. I was aware of her first album, Genuine, which came out in the year 2000. Like, I remember seeing that in the Christian bookstores. And then, of course, I read Smash Hits magazine. I watch MTV. So I was getting Stacey there as well when she eventually went mainstream. So I was like 360 Stacey. The only other kind of gospel Christian crossover I can think of this time was Mary Mary. Shackles, praise
yes,
you.
Yes.
Now that was like, I remember hearing that on the radio. So I went, she talk about praising Jesus? Like, it is 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, we're in prime time, drive time, and we're praising Jesus. Like, this is incredible. This is unheard of.
The only other person is Jessica Simpson, but it doesn't count because she was originally signed to a gospel label and she was recording and going to release a gospel album.
Didn't know that.
But the label went under. And then that's when she got her mainstream record deal. And that wasn't as a sort of gospel artiste. So that doesn't really count. But
you know, there's also Katy Perry, originally Christian pop, Katherine Hudson.
Yes.
You know, she was trying to do that thing as well. But there's no one, but she ditched that whole identity and then
went to kiss a girl.
Yeah, exactly. And reinvented herself as Katy Perry. So there's not really been that one artist who has straddled both worlds very successfully.
And I think as far as, you know, making the transition from Christian to mainstream, you know, I think everybody assumes that once you, you know, add another record label into the equation that you become this totally different artist or like you're making a completely different record when truly it's just, you know, broadening your audience.
So, Joel, let's get into the origin of Stacey Joy Orico.
Stacey Joy Orico. Boom, boom, boom. Origin story. Boom.
So 12-year-old Stacey entered a talent competition in her home state of Colorado in 1998.
Aww.
So bless her. She didn't come from a family of music industry people. She wasn't necessarily sure that she wanted to enter this industry. She just knew she loved to sing.
Oh, and sing it out. Sing it loud and proud, girl.
Sing it out loud and proud, girl. So she entered this talent competition. She won, and she was approached by someone from Forefront Records. Now, Forefront Records is an independent label that specializes in contemporary Christian music.
Okay, I'll send them my demo.
2 years earlier, before they signed Stacey, Forefront Records was bought over by EMI.
Lovely.
And then comes the year 2000, 14-year-old Stacey releases her debut album, Genuine.
So I would always see Genuine sort of pop up online. But we weren't in the Spotify age then that we are now. And then it's just an album that I've always been meaning to get around to, but never have. And I absolutely loved it.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm
bopping along.
I have found my Christian beliefs now. Partly it does sound very dated, but then if you think about it for the year 2000, it actually sounds quite fresh and not edgy, but current compared to what contemporaries would have been doing at the time. So if you think the year 2000 was the biggest sort of comparison, like Oops, I Did It Again by Britney, maybe? Like,
yeah, there were definitely essences of it. Like, you could hear a sort of Christian Britney vibe going on here.
Let's just say, if I was younger, and if someone was desperate to convert me to Christianity, they should have just slipped me this album. I would have been, okay.
Oh, right. Sign me up to church. What time does service start?
What time's the Stacey Orico performance?
Yeah. If Stacey Orico was performing at church, I mean,
front row.
We'd be there. So at the time of this album coming out, I literally had no concept of how huge it was. Genuine set the record for biggest first week sales for a Christian female debut.
Yes, girl. Do you think any of these Christian stations would still play her today?
Is there an absolute naughties Christian?
We are available to host that.
Drive Time, Breakfast.
You know, we'll just play Stacey Arrico.
Mary Mary.
Mary Mary, Jump 5.
Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child.
Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child.
There you go.
That's the hour done.
Yeah, this is a full show. Shall we just quickly rattle through some of our highlights from this album?
Yes.
So you mentioned Genuine.
So I think that was the debut single and the others are radio singles. So I listened to the album first and then I went and watched the music video for Genuine. And then I'm like, thank you. So you've got her in this. It's sort of like the Christian pop version of the Say My Name music video in a way, because you've got all the oranges and the sofa.
I think there's a sofa.
And I loved her and her dances.
Her orange vinyl trousers.
And then there was like the cut to the sort of, yeah, like more the just her on the blue. Like she's got the bit of the wind machine and that sort of like prom hair. Very... bit similar to our girl Ellie Campbell's debut music video in that respect.
On a whole, the kind of vibe is very girl next door, talking about peer pressure, talking about self-image. It's very relatable stuff.
Most of it.
Yeah.
You had to step behind a mask, mind you're in disguise. It's as if you try to put a mask on. You're playing, you don't know who you are, what you're about, where are you now? Becoming someone that you don't want to be. You're trying so hard to fit in. What you mean?
So, you know, later down the line, she would go and tour with Destiny's Child.
On the Survivor Tour.
And you can sort of see, like, this album clicking in with Destiny's Child's sound, especially from the Writings on the Wall era. You know, it's very slick teen pop R&B in a certain way.
So was there anything else on the album that you really enjoyed before we leave that completely?
I would say there's a track called Ooh Ooh Baby that has a real Aaliyah vibe. Hands up, I don't know that much about contemporary Christian pop music, but I would say that she's probably pushing the boundaries here.
Can I first say, I've been thinking about the way my life should go. Stop play now. Take my lane now. 'Cause in my mind, time is running out for sure.
She made two music videos in this era. The second one was for a song called Everything, which was technically the first single her Christian label serviced to mainstream. I'm not a big fan of this song.
It's a little bit ballady.
It's a little bit, how you say, ballady.
Slow.
But the one good thing that did come out of this is that even though it didn't catch the attention of the mainstream, it got people at Virgin Records suddenly very curious about this girl.
Because she looks a bit more like the Stacey we know and love here, as opposed to the first music video.
So around this time, while I assume while she was opening for Destiny's Child on tour, Matthew Knowles offered her a record deal.
And I think as wonderful as an opportunity that is, I think she made the right choice by not going with it, because she knows she wouldn't be his priority as an act.
Mm. Stacey ends up signing a deal with Virgin Records, which is under EMI. So it's a joint deal between this Christian label and Virgin Records. And I remember reading some interviews around this time where she says, oh, goodness, you know, I'm having to work twice as hard because it's two different markets that she's having to service. So she would talk about waking up really early to do the breakfast radios for what she calls secular press. And then, you know, going on to do a super conservative Christian radio show. You kind of look at Stacey's career throughout, and there's always that fine line, you know, because Christian press always want to be the ones out with the stick to, you know, tell you whether you're too provocative or whether you're dressing right or acting right or singing about the right things. So it's a very, like, fine line.
And Stacey did it brilliantly well. Well, look, regardless of religion, we all need bops in our life.
We all need bops. After Genuine, she had plans for a second Christian pop album. And it was going to be called Say It Again.
Say it. Say those words I heard you whisper.
Featuring Precious. That album never fucking came out.
And it had a release date and everything.
Yeah, and it just got cancelled. So what happened was she signed with Virgin and they decided we're going to push her as a mainstream pop star.
Oh, but I bet that was a really exciting meeting because it's like, nah, let's fucking go for it. Go big or go home, Stace. You up for it, darling? Yeah.
So three songs that were meant for the Say It Again album were reworked for the Stacey Orrico album. So the songs were Bounce Back.
Oh, Bop, Bop, Bop should be called instead, you know, yes. Absolute bop.
Security and Maybe I Won't Look Back.
Security's also one of my favourites on the album.
Mm-hmm. So shall we get into it? We need to start with Stuck, obviously.
Okay. I would say that Stuck is one of, if not the, seminal song of our generation.
Damn.
It's such a point of reference, especially the pop lovers of our generation. Yeah. Twitter, we're all still talking about it to this day.
Mm. Every now and then, when I'm all alone, I've been wishing you would call me on the telephone. Say you want me back, but you never do. I feel like such a fool. There's nothing I can do. I'm such a fool for you. So, Joel, what did you think of the music video?
I've never seen it.
Stuck what? Stuck who?
Stuck in the middle, Louise. I watched it today with eyes of this podcast, and I just thought, this is it. Some people might already know this girl. This is you seeing her for the first time as a fucking big deal pop star.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bang!
Virgin Records money.
You know, just that shot, can't get out of bed today.
Yeah.
There every morning before work. Thank you, Stacey.
Have we, in our present decade, seen very many school set music videos?
No.
This feels like something of that era. You know, Baby One More Time.
Yeah.
Set in a school. JoJo.
Yeah.
Leave. We're about to get
but
to that.
But you look at it and it doesn't... Well, I guess you've got to look at it in pop culture as well. That was the era... where we were getting teen film after teen film after teen film, teen TV show after teen TV show,
yeah.
You know, Buffy, Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just reflecting what's happening in pop culture where, we might start seeing it again now that things like Riverdale are so popular, but it's had a sort of dip of that was on trend so much for a long time.
It just really felt like the school setting was so central in the marketing of a pop star.
Yeah.
You know, where does she fit in at school? Is she the popular girl? Is she, you know... the kind of edgy girl. Like,
yeah.
Who is she?
Is she the quote-unquote outsider, but you're all together? Like, you know, you're not really, but it's the manufactured.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because that can tell you everything you need to know about your teen pop star. That first video and what she's like in a school setting, isn't it? I love that. The funny thing is, Stacey had never even had one single day of high school.
Homeschooled, was
she? She's homeschooled. So, I don't think it was a Christian thing necessarily. I think it was because she got famous.
She's a superstar, yeah.
Yeah. The guy they get to play Stacey's love interest is actually her cousin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I need to, like, rewatch his video, see if there were any awkward scenes.
No, well, it's like that guy in the Britney Baby One More Time video was her cousin as well, wasn't it?
Was it?
I'm pretty sure.
I didn't know that.
You know, you end up in situations where you're in bad relationships or, you know, you pick a bad guy to invest your time in. Oh my gosh, I know I shouldn't be in this relationship. I know it's not good for me. But on the other side, you know, I'm afraid of getting out of the relationship because it makes me feel good.
I remember I had my first boyfriend. I made a mix CD and this was on it for him.
Oh, that is so
what
sweet.
What a twat. Me, not him. You know, just cringe looking back.
This was the point where, like, I was starting to really get into pop music in high school. Like, I was getting friends to download songs for me.
And then send it to your MSN Messenger?
No, I would send them a list of songs that I wanted. I would buy the blank CD and the case. I would give it to them and I would give them $5.
Oh.
And tell them to please burn me all these songs. And I want it in that order.
You just turned from so friendly to so...
I'm paying you $5. You need to get it right.
I've already made the artwork.
And Stuck was one of the songs on one of my earliest mix CDs that I couldn't do myself, but I was paying people to do it for me.
Did they ever come back to you and say, oh, sorry, David, I couldn't find that song? Because sometimes there was the odd song which you just could not find.
I remember they said to me they couldn't find, like, the proper version of Spiller, Groove Jet, and Out of Your Mind. Because I put them both on the same mix CD.
Ooh.
So they ended up coming back with me with some sort of remix of it, which was okay.
But it's not the one. And then there was two things that always used to happen when you would download from these sites. Whoever had put it online while you had done it on purpose, but the person making the CD wouldn't know. Because sometimes you download a song, go to listen to it, and then you'd be like, oh, if you hadn't checked the whole thing.
Oh, okay. No, that hasn't
That never slipped
me.
In.
Very lucky.
Or sometimes it would just be a 4-minute loop of like verse, chorus, the first verse and the chorus, the first verse and the chorus. I used to have Rachel Stevens' Sweet Dreams Male AX of just that for 4 minutes. And I didn't realise until quite some time. And then I was like,
there's a verse two. Rachel, what are these lyrics?
So that never happened to you either?
No, it didn't.
Oh. There was also AOL Music First Listen. Do you remember
yes.
that?
Oh.
So I will listen AOL to songs music. And in my head I've got AOL Music First Listen. Especially on the Hillary and Hayley Duff Our Lips Are Sealed song. Because I remember the first time I heard that on AOL Music First Listen, I just kept playing it and playing it and playing it. I was so excited.
Oh, but you're so desperate and so hungry.
Yeah. Part of the song now.
It's part of the song, yeah. We'll be out on the dance floor and we'll sing that part.
AOL Music First Listen.
This podcast is not brought to you by AOL, by the way.
Yet.
So Stuck made number 52 on the Billboard Hot 100, number 9 in the UK, and number 3 in Australia, certified platinum sales. Joel, what did you think about There's Gotta Be More to Life? Oh, David. We're both like clutching our chests now.
Stuck is the seminal song,
mm-hmm.
but I think this is my favourite song. You know what I love about Stacey, even from her first album, like with that song Dear Friend, she's accessible when she's speaking about, you know, Dear Friend's about a friend with depression, really. So it's not like she's just singing about boys and God and Jesus. She's also speaking and singing about such relatable things.
Real issues, yeah. Real relatable issues.
Really commendable. Yeah. No one else of this ilk was kind of really doing that.
It's like such an anthem for me in a way, just listening to it. You know, you're in this rat race here in London and, you know, all you have to do is just tune into this to get a little bit of perspective.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's got to be more to life than this rat race that we're in.
Yeah, if I'm in that over, like, just like a bit of a down, quite a down mood and you just want everyone to royally fuck off, I will just like sit there, put in my headphones and blast this song out. You know, and just be like, Stacey gets it. What did you think of the music video?
I still cannot believe they did that. She really did that. 10 different characters in one music video.
Yeah. I also can't believe, as a Christian pop artiste, she's playing like a robber.
I mean, she's acting, darling.
Oh, yeah, I know, thespian, but
She is like robbing a 7-Eleven or something in this music video.
Yeah,
it's
cheeky.
One of the characters, yeah.
Cheeky Stace.
I've never seen a video like this before, like executed in this way. It's 10 different setups. That's a lot of money to set up for just very quick, short scenes. She plays a waitress. She plays a single mom or whatever who's getting her house repossessed.
Robber.
She plays a robber. She plays an FBI agent. Do you remember? She's parachuting down.
She did her own stunts as well.
Queen. She plays a model with that
model.
Crazy makeup. I was like, oh, Stacey.
The
all
girl
right.
that gets with the afro that gets sort of
the busker girl.
I didn't know what was wrong with her. She looked like she was having a great time. Was it just that she got hosed down, or
I think Stacey was depicting people in different walks of life just wanting more.
Right.
And it was just this girl busking.
Yeah, okay, and, I'm with you now.
And then there was a corporate girl with the big glasses. God,
yeah, I think we can all relate to that one. So she said at the time that this was the first treatment for the music video she received, the very first one, and she said, stop, I don't need any more. This is the one, we're doing this one.
Hell yeah. It just made the song even bigger than what it was. There's Gotta Be More to Life becomes Stacey's biggest hit in the US. I always thought Stuck was her biggest charting hit.
Globally, Stuck is the biggest song, I'd say, but in terms of the US, that's the bigger hit.
Yeah, and I'm so happy for her that that was the case. Number 30 on the Hot 100 in Australia, number 11, so it becomes her second top 20 hit there, and also in the UK, number 12. She did come over here to do some performances. She didn't do GAY.
You know, it's a shame she didn't.
It would have been fun.
Yeah, Jeremy Joseph, get Stacey on the phone. Right, okay, we might have supernatural powers. At time of recording, Mighty Hoopla had not announced Samantha Mumba performing. Then by the time we'd edited and released it, they'd already announced it. Jeremy Joseph, announce Stacey Orrico at GAY. I'm putting it out there.
Can just imagine Stacey comes out like gospel choir.
No. She'll come out gorgeous, but all her backing male dancers will come out topless but with angel wings. That was an exact outfit I had to wear when I was dancing on the cruise ship back in the day.
Did you dance to Stacey?
No, it was to Madonna.
Like a Prayer.
Yeah.
Of course it was Like a Prayer.
No one else is going to see this, but I can show you a visual of it because I just found the recording of the shows today.
I'll find a way of sneaking this recording online. So, shall we get into the Stacey Orrico album? Now, I have this on CD back home in Australia.
I had this on CD as well. I bought it a little bit after it came out, and I bought it from a shop called MVC in Romford. And MVC was kind of like a more independent budget version of HMV. But still, I still paid like the full £10 for it, even though it was like a older CD, because I just was like, I just randomly went out with the intention that day, today's the day, I'm going out, I'm going to go and buy the Stacey Orrico album.
The spirit of Christ fills you up, and you just woke up with purpose, and you're like, this is the day? It wasn't quite as much of a revelation or like an inspired moment for me. I had been nagging my dad to buy me this album from the Christian bookstore for months. There's Gotta Be More to Life comes out. I'm like, Dad, there's not only one hit single on this, there's now two. So there's double the value for money. I could have used some of my own actual pocket money for it, but you know, when you have like limited funds, you got to be very crafty about what you do with your money.
And you probably know, because Stacey was a Christian pop artist, that was the one you were more likely to be gifted. I know your trail of thought.
Yes, you are right on my wavelength. I'm saving my $5 for Atomic Kitten.
Stacey either co-wrote or wrote every song on this album, apart from I Promise, which is written by Diane Warren. That's incredible.
It is incredible.
Oh, actually, and she didn't write Bounce Back as well, but that is such a bop.
That is a bop.
So Bounce Back's one of my favourites on the album, and Security.
It is great.
Hesitation.
I think Bounce Back was even a B-side for the Stuck single in Australia. Shake it off, get right on track. I'm moving on. So I Promise.
I promise.
It was a single that was only released in Europe and Australia. Mm. So, and I definitely don't remember seeing this like in a pre-YouTube kind of day.
No, she looks gorgeous. Got a little bit of fake tan on in this music video.
Ooh. She is inside an apartment and somebody upstairs has overfilled their tub or something.
And it's all flooded.
It's flooding down on her, and she's just lying in bed.
That is not safe. All that water inside is not safe. Shout out to... Do you ever remember watching videos back in the day, and they were always like, it would say rage on them at the beginning or whatever.
Do you know what rage is?
Oh, no. Oh, have we spoken about this?
No. Rage is a music video program on the ABC in Australia.
No.
Yeah, so it's the countdown from, I think, I don't know how early, it was actually top 50 or top 75. They start really early on a Saturday morning and they count down. And in between, they would put in the latest, the new music videos that haven't charted yet.
I did not know that. Yes. So there's all these music videos from back in the day and I just thought Rage was someone that like...
Like a YouTuber.
Capture them and upload them, yeah.
No, it's an Australian, yeah. It's
a wow, I'm actually...
Stanning. Also, I Could Be The One is another favourite from the album for me.
Fourth single, I Could Be The One.
I didn't even know there was a music video for this.
So I remember that coming on just randomly. Jess was over again. You know how I've mentioned before?
The Mandy Moore haircut.
The Mandy Moore haircut.
From our Mandy Moore episode.
Jess would come over to have a sleepover with my sister Kylie, but then she'd end up hanging out with me, and we were both just standing this music video.
Wow. Now, this is just such a fabulous up-tempo song. You could almost forgive it for being so, like, overly Jesus, Jesus. Because I think out of all the singles on this, you didn't know it was Jesus, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, I thought she was singing to a boy. I Could Be The One.
No, it's not. It's a song about God choose me to be your ambassador.
But absolute bop of a song. And what I was looking at from kind of her sets back in this era and in the Live in Japan concert, and then I was watching another festival set she did from 2004, it looks like typically There's Gotta Be More to Life and I Could Be The One would be her encore tracks.
Wow. The whole concert's now up on YouTube, so if you guys have a minute, watch it. And also, Stacey Orrico in this era fucking loves to layer.
Yeah, there's a lot of jeans over skirt, that 2004 era.
Oh my God.
That fabulous look, I'm going to start doing that again.
Oh yeah. So this album, Stacey Orrico, did number 59 on the US Billboard 200. It sold 500,000 copies, number one on the top Christian album charts.
And the top contemporary Christian album charts.
Thank God for that.
Literally.
We're going to hell.
Oh, no, we're not. Like, the thing is, though, I'm not a religious person, but I'm not a religious person, yeah. You know. Very open-minded and respectful to everyone's religion. So why not sing about it if you want to sing about it?
Absolutely.
Well, as Lindsay said in Lindsay's Hotel, you know, this is like my religion. It's my own religion. I meditate 3 times a day.
Before I leave this era, Joel, I just wanted to show you this gorgeous picture. So we're looking at a picture from 2003 of Stacey Orrico with Mandy Moore. Look how teased up Stacey's hair is. I'd like to think it's a wig.
That's not a wig, mate. That's a lot of back combing. And do you know what? I think that probably looked really fabulous in real life.
I think in 2019, looking back at any kind of back combed hair, we're like, that was a moment.
And shout out to that production assistant or PR, whoever's just there in the background, just looking at them.
Just like, trying not to be in a shot. But
I wanted to put this on my Insta story today, and I wanted to do the picture and then zoom in on that, but with like funny caption, but I couldn't think of anything.
So Joel, shall we move on to our next diva of this episode?
Diva. Joanna Noel. Jojo Levesque. That was the first time me reading that. I think I pulled it off.
She truly is a defining vocalist of this generation.
Absolutely.
Sold 70? Sold over 7 million albums worldwide. And what a big debut she had. I never thought that anyone could make me feel this way.
Too late now, I can't wait for you to be gone. 2004, I was 13.
Oh my God.
This song was such a big deal. Again, it was when we were doing the extra work on Harry Potter 4. Oh, that is such like a memorable time in my, of those years.
And this song. How long were you doing the extra work?
Like months.
Oh, wow.
And it was when I was starting stage school as well at that exact time. So there was a lot going on for it to be so memorable. But I remember some of the other extras, we were all just singing it. Like, we'd sing it and then someone would just shout the get out and the leave. Oh, such an impact. And we were just like, this girl, we could not believe she was 13 years old for the life of us. Could not believe it.
How does she have a voice like that? I think I read an interview that she was offered a record deal at 6. Honey, how are you already sounding that good?
I watched a clip of her at 6 today. Her voice was just... Obviously, she didn't have stage presence or anything, but that vocal, really incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So in 2003, JoJo, at age 12, went for America's Most Talented Kids.
Right.
A talent show contest on TV. Lost to Diana DeGarmo. Do you know who that is?
American Idol.
Yeah.
I wanted her to win that season.
Oh, really?
She maybe was a little bit more basic, and I don't mean that rudely. Yeah. I do not mean that rudely at all, but that was probably just more my taste at the time.
Yeah, fair enough. Whereas I love the kind of soul R&B belty vocalist. Young Diana DeGarmo won that competition over JoJo. While she was doing the show, she was approached by Vince Herbert. So Vince, as we all know now, is Tamar Braxton's ex-husband. So Vince approached JoJo to ask her to audition for this label he was working for called Blackground.
Oh, God, here we go.
Oh, here we go. Blackground at that time was most famous for delivering Aaliyah and Timbaland. But we'll get into, I mean, why this, in hindsight, might not have been the best move.
But you know, before we get into all this, you know the Britney Spears story with JoJo, right?
No.
When JoJo was 8 years old, she went to a Britney Spears concert. She managed to get herself backstage. She just got herself in front of Britney and sung, just started singing at her. And then Britney's team tried to sign her to a production deal.
Wow.
She's confident, very confident, but she's genuine and she's got the talent through the roof to back it up. So why the hell wouldn't you, JoJo?
Oh, hell yeah, do it. So JoJo and her mum signed a 7-album deal with Blackground.
Bloody hell.
They spent about 3 or 4 months working on this album and they were ready to choose a lead single, and out they came with Leave, Get Out.
Oh, what a lead single. That bridge, it just... No, I'm not going to sing. Like, I wanted you right here with me. I said I wasn't going to sing, but... I had no choice, I gotta leave. It's just the best bit of the song for me.
This music video was absolutely everywhere. Number one on TRL. She was the youngest artist to ever go number one there.
She was so young, but really, like, ticked all the boxes for a lot of different... groups of people, pop, R&B, teens, kids, adults. There are a lot of people that could get into it, you know. And I'm sure parents probably were really happy to have this on as opposed to some of the other maybe teeny bop stuff they were having to listen to.
Yeah.
It's just like the most serious 13-year-old ever. It's just crazy. But you couldn't have told me I wasn't grown, so...
Leave, Get Out took 16 weeks to reach its peak of number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100. It reached number one on the Billboard Mainstream Top 40, and she made history as the youngest person to ever do this. The single sold 500,000 copies there in the US, debuted at number 2 in the UK when it came out in August, and number 2 in Australia as well, platinum sales.
Wow.
You couldn't get away from it. It's that great. JoJo was also nominated for Best New Artist at the 2004 MTV VMA, the youngest ever nominee for that category.
Yes, queen.
She won a Radio Disney Music Award for Best Video That Rocks.
Prestigious.
Very prestigious. Is that still going?
Britney just got the Icon Award, didn't she? The Lifetime Achievement Award a few years ago.
This is the only way they could get us to watch now. Give one of our faves an Icon Award. Joel, should we talk about the JoJo album?
So I had this album when it came out.
Oh.
I actually think the album as a whole was a little bit edgy for me at the time. It was a little bit too much at the underage R&B nightclub for me.
I just love that.
So what we must get into is that JoJo has just re-released this and the second album.
Yes.
She's re-recorded them, whole new production. And
but very faithful to the original.
Very faithful to the original. Basically, Blackground were not letting her have them on streaming services or digital platforms. So she took the rights back. She had a legal team thoroughly check what she can and can't do. And she re-recorded the entire album. And now, not only can she release her music, but the writers and producers can get the publishing rights that is rightfully theirs. A, what an incredible move as an artist. But she was so young to be recording these albums that now it just feels even better than before.
Oh, so good. Because I was just listening to them today. Vocally, it's just so much better.
Vocally, she has matured. Lyrically, she can sing to them and really relate to them now.
What were your highlights from the JoJo album?
All the singles. Breezy.
Breezy.
What
is
a great way to open the album.
Oh, great.
Really, really great album. You've got the happy song, Homeboy, City Lights.
For me, they were just like really beautiful coming of age songs, weren't they?
Yeah.
So JoJo, the album, debuted and peaked at number 4 in the US, selling 95,000 copies in its first week. It would go on to do 1 million copies, certified platinum.
Bloody hell.
Massive. Shall we talk about the next single?
Oh, please, David.
Do you really like Baby It's You?
This is actually, I would say, my favourite JoJo song. Oh my God, David, what's wrong with you?
No, what's wrong with you? What?
For me, it was a great second single because I love this girl. I love her debut single. And this is a hot new track she's got and it's cool. Oh, I love singing along to it. I actually kept singing it at work the other day. And then I said to my colleagues at the end of the day, right, everyone, we are going to take it back. Headphones out, everyone. Put on Baby It's You. And they were like, you've been singing this all day, Joel.
Look, I'm happy that it's doing it for you.
Oh, it's pivotal.
Damn.
Can't somebody explain to me what everybody is trying to be? Living like a celebrity during what they see on MTV. Still relatable to this day. Mm-hmm. Even more relatable now than it was then. Mm-hmm. I tweeted it the other day, but I changed MTV to Bravo and E.
Ooh.
During what they see on Bravo and E.
Look at you, Songsmith. Okay, so the next single.
Not That Kind of Girl.
I love this one. So Not That Kind of Girl was a double A-side single in some territories.
Apparently.
With Leave Get Out.
And then, isn't that crazy if it's a double, but then in some places it's the third and final single of the album?
Yeah, I think in Germany it was the third single.
Now, the music video is very hard to find online.
But it's a fabulous music
video. It is fabulous. I went into the deep, dark web and found a copy of it. And I was just showing it to David before we recorded it. I'll try and maybe put on our socials that fabulous dance scene when they're all in white with her in the backing dancers. Yeah. It looks like she's doing a fabulous schools tour.
The all white ensemble with like the glittery JoJo sign behind is very like you're in an R&B music video.
So JoJo is not just an incredibly talented singer, songwriter, performer, producer, songstress in general. She's also a great actress. And between the two albums, she starred in Aquamarine, absolutely iconic teen fave, co-starring with Emma Roberts and Sarah Paxton.
Wow.
For two best friends who needed a miracle.
I'm sorry, sweetheart, but we're still moving.
Something magical.
Half the ocean washed up in there last night.
Is about to happen.
Boo.
You're a
mermaid.
How did you get in here?
I'm actually going to watch that soon if you want to see and watch it.
I would love to watch this. This looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's on Now TV if anyone wants to go and watch it. And then she also starred in RV Runaway Vacation with her co-stars Robin Williams.
Wow.
Absolute comedy legend. And Josh Hutcherson from The Hunger Games, obviously pre-Hunger Games. And she is best friends with Robin Williams' daughter to this day. Aww. Isn't that lovely?
Bless.
And then timeline, I'm not sure where it is, but we must touch on that. She was originally offered the role of Hannah Montana on the Disney Channel. JoJo turned it down. Rightfully so, because JoJo's an artist. Yeah. You know, you can completely respect the decision for her to turn it down.
For her to do a Disney thing as well.
And with the songs that would have been, you know, coinciding. It would have been different if she'd had just like a Lizzie McGuire or something like that. But a show where she's playing a pop star that then has all those songs, which is a lot of the Hannah Montana songs are bops, but not JoJo. But while we're still talking about movies, it was a little bit later, but she did star in, it's called something like Hollywood Confessions of a, The True Confessions of a Hollywood Starlet. It's a Lifetime movie. So it is trashy and cheap, but she basically, it's like the adult or the teen version of Hannah Montana in a one-off TV movie where she plays off the rails teen actress superstar who has to get sent to live with her aunt. But when she either the character dyes her hair or wears a wig or something, so she's unrecognizable when she lives in like suburbia, and it's all these trials and tribulations as she lives a normal teen life. Maybe we'll rewatch that and Aquamarine.
I'm strangely really into that concept.
We'll
have a JoJo that. Movie night.
Oh, excellent.
After those two movies, JoJo came back with an absolute bang with Too Little, Too Late.
Iconic. Wow.
The writers of Too Little Too Late originally said they wanted to pitch it to the Pussycat Dolls.
What?
I don't mind an alternate universe where, say, Nicole Scherzinger and friends did Too Little Too Late, but this was just a blockbuster moment for JoJo.
Yeah. No, imagine like Nicole's vocal, like, come with me, stay in the night, and the melody going, yay!
It would have been a mess. It would have been a mess. So JoJo's A&R heard this record, brought it over to her, and JoJo knew straight away she wanted to record it. That's it. She was like, this has to be a single. And in a way, like, Too Little Too Late is just such a perfect older sister of Leave Get Out, isn't it?
Again, she's very young to be singing the mature lyrics such as Come With Me, Stay the Night. You say the words, but boy, don't feel right.
Oh. So I was reading about the boyfriend in this music video, because he's a lot older than she is. Turns out this wasn't an actor. This is a professional football player. And I mean football as in our football, so the Americans call it soccer. The original treatment for the video, JoJo wanted an American football scene, as in like proper American football. But the director said to her, No, no, no. Soccer. I'm going to say soccer for the sake of this conversation, so don't get mad, guys. And it was the 2006 FIFA World Cup, so it was very topical. To my surprise, Too Little Too Late was actually JoJo's biggest hit.
In Australia? Or ever?
In the US.
Well, you know, it makes sense. You know, she's built up her name for herself. She had a hit album, two hit films. Now she's back with an absolute sort of mid-tempo ballad, would you call it? I'd call it a banger still.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why. In my head, I just thought Leave, Get Out was the supreme track. But this song made number three on the Hot 100. It broke the record for biggest one-week leap at that time. So it jumped from number 66 to number three.
And America week. Got shook and it jumped. Weak snatch left, right and centre.
Exactly.
And in the UK, it peaked at number four here, which is incredible. And it was number one on the UK R&B charts. And it went to number 10 in Australia, David. Can't forget that.
Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Okay, so the second JoJo album, The High Road. How do you feel about this album as a whole?
Yeah, it's a really good body of work.
I think this is a more confident and more diverse album. Swizz Beatz, who just did Beyoncé's B-Day album. There's J.R. Rotem, who...
Oh, J.R. I know him from the Paris Hilton album.
Oh.
I think isn't that the same song that sampled, like, the Grease song or something?
Yeah, yeah. J.R.
Yeah. And Scott Storch, I obviously know from the Paris album as well.
Oh my god. And Legends
and,
only.
And Jessica Simpson, Fired Up.
Yes.
So then following on from this, her next single was How to Touch a Girl.
I hate that title, John.
Yeah, it's a very awkward title. Which is not, I think there's not the the sentiment of the song is not that. But that's a terrible title for a child that's under 16. Do you know what? Coincidentally, do you know what? This title's not going to sound bad compared to what I'm about to tell you. When Jennifer Love Hewitt was under... You know, you get into those like dark hole of the internet. You like look up random stuff and then you need to know every single fact you can find. Jennifer Love Hewitt had a song when she was under 16 called Let's Go Bang.
Somebody should have read through all that and just thought, is this right?
No, and it's not right at all. Because I can't read anything but that when I'm seeing that. And that makes me really disturbed. But yeah, actually, do you know what? How to Touch a Girl is probably on equal footing with that, I'd say.
I'm sorry. I don't even want to, go there. Mm-mm.
Shall we jump straight into the next single?
Anything.
Anything. I adore this song. I love the sample. I love the original song.
Now, I want to ask you, as someone who is probably more present about JoJo's career at this point, would you say this was a defining moment in JoJo's career? Anything?
No, not at all.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't know it was a single.
Okay, thank you. Because I thought I missed something. I was in research for this episode. I saw that she was over here performing on GMTV.
Yeah, and she performed at GAY.
JoJo performed at GAY.
Yeah.
Amazing.
She would have been... How old would she have been in 2007? Young.
Definitely not old enough to get in, but still. With a chaperone.
Yeah. Billy still performed there she was under 18.
Did she?
But yeah, it was a real treat for me to find out that this was a single. And unfortunately, there's no music video to it.
Strange.
So there's this whole thing about... They asked fans to submit their own videos or something like that, which would have been included in it. And I think some of it might have been filmed. But apparently JoJo asked Blackground Records to facilitate the production process with her and her management. And they didn't.
So it just fell to the wayside.
Yeah.
One of very many things the label fucked up.
Because you think if a label's going to send you around the world to promote a song, you gotta have a video to back it up.
Especially in that time, you gotta have a music video.
And then that, unfortunately, is the final chapter of JoJo for quite a while.
Mm. So The High Road made number three in the US. Again, it charted higher than her first album. So this era is just like winning on paper.
You know, because you would look at it in a formula of things that happened and you'd be like, oh, did the second album bomb? Is that why? There's nothing, but no.
No. It did not bomb. Too Little Too Late did that. And this album certainly did that. It made number 24 in the UK, and sadly in Australia it didn't chart, but...
We'll put a pin in it here. Shall we go and talk about Stace, and then we'll give them both a wrap-up?
Absolutely. A lot has happened since we last touched base with Stace.
With our girl Stace.
She has travelled the world. Her Stacey Orico album did 3.5 million records worldwide, particularly big in Asia and Japan in particular. But then... At this point, age 18, 19, it was all too much for her. She decided to retreat. In the era for Beautiful Awakening, Stacey was filling everyone in on what happened in the years after the Stacey Orico album. And she just sort of explained it as the record deal fell on her lap when she was 12. And she just sort of kept working from that point on. She never really had a life. Her whole family was suddenly getting dragged into it, and they weren't music industry people.
We're not music industry folk, us Ricos.
You know, they were just like, suddenly it just consumed their whole family's life. And she just decided, you know what? That's it. It's enough of all this traveling, of all this promo. I need to just take a minute for myself. I need a breather just to sort my head out. And that she did. Her whole family... and her moved back to Seattle. She got a job at a restaurant with her best friend, serving fish and chips.
Oh, bless her.
She was...
As if Stacey Orico can go and do that.
She definitely did. She went and earned $7.50 an hour.
Bless her.
Working in a seafood restaurant.
I wouldn't fancy that.
Oh, no, honey, that's not the life for me.
Not if I know I'm a pop star. But good for her.
Good for her. She wanted to just kind of ground herself again and just go, okay... what's real in life, what really matters. She did that for a few years and then decided, look, it turns out I do love music after all.
Of course she does.
She went back to her passion. She moved out to LA with her sister, and that was when she started working on the 2006 album, Beautiful Awakening.
Now, I did have this album when it came out, but I downloaded it.
Oh, you downloaded it. I thought you went out and bought the CD.
No, I burned it onto a CD.
Now, I need to ask you, because you burned the CD yourself... did you throw in a couple of the past singles as bonus tracks?
No, but I think I did do on another CD, like the Best of Stacey Orico.
Oh, you did your own Best of Stacey Orico? Yeah. I love that. When Stacey came back with Beautiful Awakening, reports were circulating that she was dropped by her Christian label after 7 years together.
As if that's like... Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but like she's still with a big record label, but it's like shock.
Yeah.
Christian record labels dropped Stacey Orico.
I mean, she's still got Virgin Records. She probably wasn't that worried.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, you do you.
Probably your biggest artist, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fine.
If that's what you want.
She won't be missing you.
Yeah. Reference to the first single from this album, I'm Not Missing You. Oh, Joel, this song just...
stunning.
Maybe some boy fucked me off and I was really angry because this song was on repeat when it came out.
You know? I'm not going through the motions waiting on the hope that you'll call me.
I'm not missing you. No, ma'am.
This song had two music videos.
Back in the day, record labels would like be really...
It's got to get it right.
Which is actually quite funny that Virgin was that pedantic about this particular single because they really didn't give a shit about this album when it came out.
No, they fucked it up big time, man.
They fucked it up. So it came out internationally and then 6 months later or whatever, it was meant to come out in the US. It's a shame, but she did so much promo.
She came here to promo.
She came to Australia. A very good interview on Channel 9.
Yep, live vocal performance on GMTV here.
good girl. She was like back in action. She was ready to tell people about her new direction. And this album, Beautiful Awakening, is just gorgeous, neo-soul, jazzy, stripped back.
A real beautiful awakening to the senses.
Yeah.
It's just a real shame that... So basically what did happen is that by the time it was going to be released in the States, Virgin Records folded into EMI, and this just kind of got lost in the shuffle, which is a real, real, real shame. And it seems like Stacey professionally has kind of been lost in the shuffle as well since then. Following this, she did release More to Life, The Best of Stacey Orrico in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Which is a nice way to sort of tie everything up.
Yeah. This album, the Beautiful Awakening album, did number 8 in Japan. So she still got that fan base over there.
Oh, brilliant. It only went to 64 here, which is a real shame. But then number 15 on the UK R&B album, so...
But the fact that she came over here, did all the daytime TV stuff and proper promo, like, just really says that this wasn't a record that was underserviced in a way. Like, she was very ready to show people the new her. She's 20 years old now, although it feels like a lifetime ago since she started. This is a new direction for her. She's always enjoyed the music of Lauryn Hill and these types of artists, and she was finally getting to make an album that resonates with her personal style but also really suits her voice.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it seems like Stacey, from the back of that, maybe she just did retreat again. She's now married with 2 children, which is absolutely lovely. She's teased us a few times over the years. Back in around 2013, she said she was coming back. She had plans of an album. She's also been auditioning as an actress. And she staged an online virtual concert. But then she's most recently, she's just done a lovely Christian music concert at the end of last year with some other, I'm assuming, big Christian artists.
She sang Stuck.
She sang Stuck.
She sang More to Life.
She sang More to Life.
And the crowd joined in. It was a very sweet moment.
Yeah, there's this absolute clip of them just singing it to her.
And it's so beautiful. I know.
And I think she sung another 1 or 2 songs as well.
Probably, yeah.
She looks like she's not aged a day since this Beautiful Awakening era.
Oh, absolutely not. She looks absolutely fantastic. And I would so, so love a 2019 Stacey Orrico album.
She's still sounding better than ever. And there is still such hunger for it in the pop fans.
I think if I could be remembered for anything, you know, a few years... In a few years, I think it would be that I was able as a young artist, especially as a female artist, to kind of set a new standard for how music was made, and as a woman and being able to do all of that without completely selling out and without becoming somebody that you're not proud of, being able to show that you can stay true to the person that you are and the things that you believe in.
Should we talk about JoJo?
So let's talk about JoJo.
JoJo, we can't forget, because where we left her off at the end of that second album...
It seemed like it was just... It was going to be the next step onto more things. Unfortunately, her record label just fucked her over big time.
Oh, hideous.
So she has recorded potential several third albums, she said. She's recorded so many songs, and she kept just sending the record label all these different songs, and she was getting no response from them. And she tried to sue her record label. She tried to sue her record label twice. She finally got out of her deal.
So that was the year 2014, right?
She got out of her deal and signed with Atlantic. Big deal. But what you got to really hats off and respect to JoJo is during this time, she released 2 incredible mixtapes.
Yes.
Just to keep the music out there. So she's still releasing stuff.
Yeah.
And if you've not listened to those mixtapes, you really have to check them out.
So in 2010, there was Can't Take That Away From Me, which the Mariah Carey cover. I remember this being on the blogs and I was like, woo, new JoJo 2010. Yes, get into that. And then the other mixtape was 2012. Agape.
I love that mixtape so much. Andre is one of my favourite JoJo songs.
He always fly as he wanna be, cool than a mother. Girls always looking buddies. That's my Andre. Love her, he go your own way. Some people think he's strange, but he never try to hide it. Diamond in the rough, and that's how I like it, baby.
Thank you.
Demonstrate's quite a big reference JoJo single.
Yes, 2012, Demonstrate.
A lot of people, you would get knocked down and have these barriers and blocks so much that you would just want to give up or retreat. She did not stop fighting back.
She spent almost 10 years fighting her label.
And she sued her label for damages to her career, very rightfully so.
Yeah.
And really showed what a true artist she is. Really, you know, I think has paved the way for future pop girls to really stand up for their own.
Mm-hmm.
She released a trio of singles, Tringle. You know, that was a little teaser. She's got a new label. Then she fucking hit us with Fuck Apologies.
Ah, anthem.
Such a good song. When that was released, I lived for it. I still live for it. I live still for all this stuff. This album. But it was incredible. And I had the privilege of getting to see JoJo on her Mad Love World tour.
Oh my God, I wish I'd gone.
Like Stacey, how she's a bucket list artist of mine, and to see her live up close and personal, it's just such a joy. She's incredible. That album is incredible. There's so many good songs on it.
If you haven't already heard us bang on about this enough, vocally, JoJo has never sounded better. She is just getting started.
So that wraps up our JoJo and Stacey Orrico co-headlining episode. I've absolutely loved taking a step back in time, just thinking about them, which I do all day, every day anyway. Of course, we hope you enjoyed this episode.
Get into their back catalogue.
Let us know your favourite tracks, album tracks, singles.
Tringles.
Tringles. What you hope for them. What you envision Stacey's career would look like now, if when she comes back.
Not if, when.
When. What sound do you want from our Stace? And don't forget, you can follow us on at Right Back Pod on all socials. I'm at Dr_JoelB on all socials. What's a fabulous word?
You don't have to say fabulous.
No, I was trying to think of a funny thing I can say every time. My seasoned co-host. You can follow him on at FeedLimmy and at LoveLimmy, depending on the platform. You can email us at rightbackpod@gmail.com. And please, you know, if you've enjoyed it, forward it on to your friends. A like, a share, a retweet would be amazing.
Leave us a lovely comment on Apple Podcasts. Yeah,
a little 5-star review.
Always helps.
Always helps. Every little helps. Dun dun. Hope you're enjoying these episodes and can't wait to be sharing more with you.
Can't wait. See you guys soon.
Cut to the JoJo or Stacey outro track.